Not one of the tracts they had left on the street had been taken. And so, from the standpoint of any future literature work in Albania, the trip was extremely discouraging. As to other aspects of the country, the two came back with a mixture of emotions. The Albanians themselves were among the warmest, most affectionate people they had ever observed, as far as their relationships with one another went. The same affection was lavished on the country's leader, Enver Hoxha. For Hoxha was accomplishing things, there was no doubt about that. This small nation, from time immemorial the battleground of other countries' quarrels, dominated now by Turkey, now by Italy, had, probably for the first time in its history, a government concerned with Albania's own interests. But if the language of the land had been Chinese, Rolf and Marcus could not have felt more frustrated in their attempt to establish any kind of real contact with the people. Marcus spoke a little Italian, and had hoped occasionally to have a chat with an Italian-speaking Albanian, free of the ever-present filter of the government translator. But even when the situation appeared to be ideal, there was an almost total freeze-out of communication. It was a land where nobody knew anybody, nobody had any facts, nobody remembered. "Say, friend," Marcus would greet a factory worker in a deserted corridor, "you been working here long?" A smile and a shrug. "It's hard to say, signor." "What kind of hours do you work?"
"Ah, it varies.
Different every day."
"Well, how many people work at the factory here?"
The smile broadens. The shrug is enormous.
"Who can say? Who has counted?"
Marcus and Rolf felt there was a kind of voluntary obtuseness about it, a sort of censorship by mutual consent of all that concerned Albania against all inquisitiveness by foreigners. The only time when the barrier went down a little was in conversation with a few clergymen. And even here, communication was a matter of delicate wording, when what was not said became more important than what was. One young Catholic priest in particular, they felt, was genuinely glad to see them, eager to hear about the West, and to tell them about his own situation. His church had been Roman Catholic, until the Mao hardline forced it to break all ties outside the country. Now it called itself the National Catholic Church.
"And within the country?" Marcus asked. "Does the government leave you pretty much alone?"
"The government does not officially interfere with religion."
"You have religious freedom, then?"
"By law, we do."
"Can you say what you like from your pulpit, for example?"
"The proper answer is yes." And so it went, the long, tedious circumlocution that apparently said nothing and in fact told everything. It was from this young priest that they had heard news they could scarcely believe. In one of the Greek Orthodox churches, there was said to be a Bible in the new Albanian language.